there's never the right time to have kids. Just go ahead and have them whenever you feel like it.
For all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Women in Tech with Ariana podcast with me, Ariana, as your favorite host. For those of you, it's your first time tuning in. Welcome to an amazing community of women in tech, where we talk about the latest news in technology, hear stories from women in tech from all around the world, and share tangible resources and tools like access to funding, give away free materials to help you learn things like coding, job opportunities, talk about, you know, the best and latest and greatest tech conferences that you should definitely be attending, and so much more. Don't forget to hit subscribe and leave a review in the podcast app or on the website you are using to listen to this episode. Today we have a special guest, Flaka Mahmouti. We are talking to Flaka about the tech industry and how she navigates as a woman, mother, Muslim, engineer, and immigrant. Flaka, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me, Ariana.
Yeah, so Flaka, let's just kind of jump right into it for our listeners. What has been your journey through technology from your earliest memory?
Well, I have always been interested in math and later on physics and chemistry. So I figured out maybe the best way to go is engineering, as it was a combination of all three of these fields. So that's the reason why I kind of got involved in engineering and got a degree in that.
Awesome. So, like, with your passion for math, was this, like, what stage of this was it for your childhood? Is it at where you are current today? Was that when you were, like, a child? And, like, what was it that kind of sparked you about math that eventually then led into technology?
Well, actually, I was really young when I started to become more and more interested in it. But then later on in high school, I actually had a high school teacher who I really liked, and she was one of the persons that had a really big impact on me being passionate about mathematics, and later on leading me to a career relating to math.
That's awesome. So, but what about your high school years? Was there anything that kind of gave you some exposure in technology, or what was it about tech that made you feel like, okay, me as a young girl, I want to be in this industry when I get older?
Well, actually, just looking back, I always liked things that had to deal with space and things like that. So I always wanted to have a career that had that involved. And engineering was a way to go since, most of the technology that space industry uses is engineering, technology, software, and things like that. So during high school, one of my friends asked me if I was able to go with her to Germany on a conference for a conflict resolution. And it was a conference where we had, it was 8 Albanians from Kosovo, 8 Israelis, 8 Palestinians, and 8 Serbians. And one of my cousins, my father's aunt, she gave me an amount of 300 euros to buy a camera so I could take pictures in Germany. And then I thought maybe I should just save that money and then go to school to learn English. And that's what I did. I actually spent all of that money in a school to learn English and later on used that knowledge to take SATs and then apply for college here in the U.S.
Interesting. So your aunt gave you 300 euros to go on this trip, but you decided, like, no, I want to further my education. I'm going to learn English. What was it, why English? Why did you want to instead go on this trip to Germany where you could have had this awesome opportunity for a conference? Why did you think that learning English would be a good opportunity or a better one than going to the conference?
Because I really... English is more of like a universal language right now, and if you speak English, you have opportunities to study and go all over the world, no matter which country.
Now, one thing we forgot to mention in the beginning, you're originally from Kosovo, but you're Albanian. So, which is super awesome. So, we'd like to hear more about that, but, you know, what was your reasoning from moving from Kosovo to the United States? And then, I guess, even before we get into that, if you could share with us a little bit about your country.
So, yeah, I'm from Kosovo. It's a small country in Southeastern Europe. It's right by Albania. By Serbia, or you could just say north of Greece. I always wanted to come to college in the U.S. as it's called the land of opportunities, and I wanted to give it a shot.
So what was your experience like, your immigration experience, like when you got here and moved to the United States, like obtaining a visa, finding work? What was that process like for you, and how did you navigate it?
I actually applied for at University of Colorado in Boulder while I was in Kosovo, and I looked into applying for an F1 visa there, and then found out that the process was really hard and complicated because you had to have a certain amount of money. And then I looked into it and found out that you could go to the U.S. for 3 to 4 months for work, obtaining a J-1 visa, which I did. And moved to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, and worked there for 3.5 months. After that, moved to Denver and changed my visa to an F1 visa and started school at Metropolitan State University of Denver. I originally got accepted to University of Colorado in Boulder. However, as an international student, I could not pay for it. So started Metro instead.
Gotcha. So there was a challenge for you, right? Finding and choosing the right school and obviously affording that opportunity, right? And I can't imagine what that's like being an immigrant and coming to a new country, trying to better my education, better myself, while also trying to figure out, well, how am I going to eat tomorrow? And where am I going to live? And where am I going to stay? And how am I going to pay for the basic important things like books? So how did you find financial support to help you pay for school and live here in the U.S.? Like, I'm sure that was a challenge. Like, again, like, I cannot imagine what that's like as an immigrant. But so please, like, walk us through, like, your mindset at the time.
Well, I didn't really think much about it because I had such strong emotion through just finishing college, and I had my parents finance most of college. I also worked a lot, had a job at TW Telecom. As an F1 visa student, I could get a job after 2 semesters in school. Also,
what year was this?
This was 2012.
2012.
Yes. And then worked in campus as a tutor, worked as a waitress, and just worked all the way through my school.
So you had multiple jobs while working through school and also being a full-time student.
Yes.
So what kept you motivated to do all of those things as a student, as a new, like, did you even know English? Like, you moved here from Kosovo, made it through the immigration process, which is a very strenuous process, like, that is phenomenal, and joined this school, full-time job, have all the, what kept you sane? What kept you motivated? Like, how did you push through, like, all of those challenges?
Well, I had a mindset that I was going to finish school, and that kept me going. Also, my parents were really proud of me, and that was just a boost for me. So, yeah.
And when you went to school here in the U.S., was that your first college experience, or did you have prior experience in Kosovo?
Yes, I actually finished 3 years of electrical and computer engineering in Kosovo. I got transferred to Metropolitan State University in Denver. But it was the first experience in the U.S. As it's really different. And just the campus is bigger, there's more students, and just the way of learning is really different from Kosovo.
Gotcha. Okay, guys, we're going to take a super quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Flocka's college experience.
Super quick commercial break, guys. This year, we're doing something totally different for the Women in Tech with Ariana podcast. We get quite a few women who reach out and want to be on the show. So we've decided to launch the Women Around the World highlight series, where we will feature women in tech and you get to talk about your business or your nonprofit and how you're making an impact on our community. So we'll be providing exposure to our global audience for your business or your nonprofit.
nonprofit. If you're interested in being a part of this highlight series for our podcast, send us an email at podcast@walwaytech.com with the subject line Women Around the World, and our podcast team will send you details. And we're back, guys, from our quick break. We're back with Flaka Mahmouti, and she's sharing her story as a mother, as a Muslim, as an immigrant, as an engineer, and how she navigates the tech industry with us. So now, Flaka, we last talked a little bit about your, you were living in Kosovo, and then you moved to Denver, Colorado. So now let's get more into your college experience, because you were technically at two different schools. So let's talk more about your college and experience in Denver. How was that? What was that like for you?
Actually, it was really, really good. I transferred all my credits from the college from Kosovo. And after that, started studying off campus just so I didn't have to pay any fees for the gym and things like that. I did two semesters of social sciences, as I didn't have that from back home, and then did two semesters on campus with the engineering subjects. And in the meantime, I actually met my husband. We got married and then moved to Grand Rapids after that.
Awesome. So now I also want to backtrack a little bit about your college experience. You did 3 years of electrical engineering at a different university. And so when you transferred here to the States, how many of those credits were accepted? And was that a hard challenge for you to decide, like, okay, yeah, I know I want to go to the United States. You talked about how when you were younger, you were always interested in technology and NASA and good at math and physics, but, you know, was it challenging for you to leave 3 years worth of education, of college education, in Kosovo to come to the U.S. to basically kind of start over? Or did you have to start over? What was that like?
Actually, most of the subjects that I took in Kosovo got transferred. The reason why is most of them were math, physics, chemistry. And I had to provide a lot of documentation, but in the end, most of them got transferred. There were some that were not. However, the most important ones were.
Okay, awesome. So you got married, met the love of your life at Boulder University. She's smiling, so that's why I'm laughing, guys. She met the love of her life. You got married. You moved to Grand Rapids. What was that move to? Grand Rapids is where I'm based, guys. And so what was that move? Like, why did you guys move from Denver to Grand Rapids?
Well, my husband's family lives here, and we moved closer to his home to start a family. The move was a little bit hard on me. It was a big change. Also, Grand Rapids is more of a, smaller place and kind of hard to get by, but it was good.
Okay, so you moved to Grand Rapids, but at that point, you had already graduated from Metro in Denver, Colorado. So you already had your bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. How long did it take for you to, after you transferred your courses from Kosovo to the college, how long did it take you to finish here in Denver?
I started in January of 2012 and graduated in December of 2013.
Okay, so it was pretty quick, basically like 2 years and you were out of there. Okay, so why the move to Grand Rapids from Denver?
Well, I met my husband in Denver, and all his family lives here in Grand Rapids, so we moved here closer to his home. And also we were ready to start a family, so we would have people around and our kids would grow up closer to their grandparents.
So the beautiful story of a lot of women becoming a mom. So that is beautiful, so awesome, congratulations. Even though you've been a mom for what, like 2-3 years now, I believe. But 5 years, oh wow, 5 years. Hey, a late congratulations, but we have to appreciate our mothers, okay? Every day is Mother's Day, that's what I always say. We always have to appreciate our moms, so congratulations. But no, seriously, I think too, and beyond just like, at first that was a little joke, but I just got a little revelation. But like, when you're in tech, there are a lot of women who hope, you know, we hold back from having children because we feel like, oh, it may interfere with our career. What's this going to do? Is it going to throw a wrench in my plans and I'm not going to be able to be, you know, the top CTO or the C-level suite executive at a company? You know, how am I going to be able to navigate being in the tech industry? And especially in an industry where, you know, it's not, you know, there isn't a lot of support for us from, you know, parental leave when you have a child and being able to navigate dropping your kids off to soccer practice or staying later for a 4 o'clock meeting because everyone in the meeting is a male and their wives are at home with the kids, right? So I'm curious to know, obviously children are a beautiful gift, but what was that like for you going from this full-time student, which is a totally different pace, to, okay, I'm a mom now, moving to a different city, I'm an immigrant, I'm in tech, but like, how did you navigate that process? Like, were you working at the time when you still had your kids? Were you still an engineer?
Yes, actually, I moved in Grand Rapids in July and then started work December 1st at a company here in Grand Rapids. And then I had my first child in April. So it was really hard because I only had 6 weeks of parental leave. My mother-in-law had to take care of a six-week baby. I also worked 12-hour shifts, and it was extremely hard for me to be away from my child. And I left my my job before having the second child, and now I understand how much I missed on my first one.
So you had your first child in April of 2015. You said you only got about 6 weeks parental leave, which is ridiculous, especially in other countries where they're getting like 6 months to an actual... I heard that there's some countries that give a whole year off, paid, like, insane. And that should be for both the mother and father. But anywho, I'm going to get off my soapbox. So, you know, you had 6 weeks, and then you immediately went back to your work. You said your mother-in-law, thank God for her, came in, stepped in, and supported you and your husband and helped you with your child. So, and then for your second child, you decided, okay, I need to be a stay-at-home mom. How long was that between when you had your second child? And basically, the question is, how long was it you were working when you had this newborn baby?
Well, actually, my son turned one in April 2016, and right before his birthday, I quit my job and had my my second son in October. So I stayed away for like a year, even though I had some time at home because I was working 3 days and then 3 days off. However, I leaving home a six-week-old baby, it's really hard on the mother.
Yeah, I can only imagine because I'm not a mom, but what that feeling and emotion is like of essentially like feeling like you have to figure out what to sacrifice. Like, do I want to sacrifice time with my child? Do I want to sacrifice, you know, my career? And so I just have to say kudos to you for being a freaking mom boss and choosing to be a stay-at-home mom. But also there might be some moms who are, you know, currently today in FLACA situation where their baby maybe is 6 weeks old and 12 weeks old and they've decided to continue working and, you know, maybe their mother-in-law or their husband or their friends are supporting them and their child at home. And so kudos to you too. I feel like as a mother, you make the best decision for your child. So whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a mom that's working and you have people supporting you and then you come home and you do it at night, kudos to you as well. All of these stories matter. So what kind of advice would you give to moms who are kind of dealing with that emotion of, you know, and trying to make the decision of, okay, what do I do? Like, should I stay in the company? Should I wait to have children? Should I go ahead and have kids and be a stay-at-home mom? Or should I go ahead and have kids and continue to work? Like, what kind of advice? Like, what, walk us kind of through, like, how you made that decision.
Well, while working at TW Telecom, we had some lunches with the CEO, the CFO, et cetera, like executives of the company. And then the CEO of the company, Larissa Herda, she said that there is never the right time to have kids. Just go ahead and have them whenever you feel like it. So that's what I went with. And the thing is that children are more important than anything else, even though our careers are really important, but our kids are, the family should be number one.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that beautiful piece of advice. And yeah, again, like if you're a mom out there and you're trying to navigate and figure out what do I need to do, what's the best decision? Again, like as the mother, you get to decide that. And when you weigh out all your options and everyone's circumstance is different. There's some people who can afford to be a stay-at-home mom and others who can't. But whatever your story is, whatever decision you decide, just know that you matter and that either way you can still be a phenomenal mother regardless.
So we talk about, right, that connection and the challenges, right, and more so the emotional challenges of, you know, what it takes to be a mom in this industry. But now, you know, how did you, because you're still an engineer, you know, you're still awesome at math, you're still awesome at physics, you have this passion for NASA, you know, you worked for a telecom company as an engineer, as an electrical engineer, you know, you still have all of this inside of you. So how did you as a mom kind of stay up to date in the tech industry? What was it you did? Like, what were there any courses, any books that you read that kind of helped you stay motivated while you're raising these two beautiful children? How did you stay connected to the industry?
Actually, I actively took classes on edX and Udemy. Also, I took boot camp for Python and data analytics with BrainStation, which is based in Toronto, Canada. Also, just this December, I graduated from another boot camp, C#.NET boot camp, from Grand Circus here in Grand Rapids.
So that's cool. So you had so edX, guys, Udemy, these are all the platforms that I've talked about in previous episodes, but these are online platforms where you can learn how to code, right, from scratch. And you can be someone who, again, like Flaka, who's an engineer, or someone, maybe you're an artist, or, you know, you're working literally at the cash register at McDonald's, and you're like, I want to learn how to code and want to get into the tech industry. The best way to do that is through coding and through platforms that Flaka just mentioned. And so, Flaka, what's cool about your story is that, you know, you had the traditional engineering experience. But, you know, you moved, kind of life happened, had the two kids, and you had both the experience of the online coding bootcamp learner and the in-person coding bootcamp. You were a part of the Grand Circus coding bootcamp here in Grand Rapids. And so what was that like? Did you like online better than in-person? Kind of what were the differences between the two, and what would you prefer or recommend for listeners to do if they're trying to learn how to code?
For me, one in person was better because I learned better just being interactive with the teacher and the students. But if you have no choice, like you have no other option, you can do online as well. Online courses are really helpful. However, the in-person ones are more helpful and you just get to interact and network with a lot of people.
And let's talk a little bit more about your coding bootcamp experience with Grand Circus. Like, how long was the coding bootcamp? What was it like when you went in? I know you said you previously didn't know languages like Python and C++ and stuff like that. But, you know, what was that experience like working with other people who, you know, was everyone an engineer that was in your cohort? How long was the bootcamp? How were the instructors? Kind of walk us through that experience that you had.
Well, when I started in my cohort, we had a lot of people that had computer science background, but we had also a lot of other people that did not. The course itself was 6 months long, and it was more of an after hour boot camp. It was amazing, though. The teacher was really good and very knowledgeable, the teacher assistant as well. And just the whole Grand Circus team was amazing in trying to motivate us to do our best in this boot camp.
And what boot camp did you take? Like, what was it that you learned? And like, so what was it that you learned? And like, what programming language? What was the focus? Like, was it, you know, to build an app? Was it built to build a website? And how detailed did they get? Like, did you feel like it was more detailed in person than it was on the online courses?
Actually, it was the C#.NET bootcamp, and in the end of the bootcamp, we created an app. It was way more detailed than the online one. This one was longer, and it was more detailed, and it was more focused on learning all aspects of building web apps.
Would you recommend, like, these in-person coding boot camps for people who are starting off like entry level? Would you recommend that people come in with some computer science knowledge?
Actually, I would recommend they have some sort of knowledge. Just for instance, taking online classes and just do an intro to coding and then take one of these boot camps. And I highly recommend them as I feel like I've learned a lot and a lot more than the coding classes that I've done in college.
So you do recommend coding boot camps for people who are trying to learn, especially entry level, but they do come in with some coding knowledge. And you guys, like, if you, again, like, you don't have to have, you know, a 4-year bachelor's degree in electrical engineering like Flaca to, you know, join these in-person coding boot camps. But we would definitely recommend platforms like edX and Udemy and platforms like that where you can learn for like super cheap or free. And of course, YouTube. You guys know I'm always talking about YouTube. So there's some great channels on there where you can learn how to code. So it is great to go anything with a prior knowledge. Even if you don't know exactly how to code, it's good to expose yourself. So that way, at least when you first walk into the boot camp, because I did a boot camp before 2 years ago, it's good to expose yourself so something is familiar, because then you kind of learn quicker that way.
Yeah, that's true. It's better to have some basics and then move on from that.
Totally agree. So now, during this boot camp, so that was last year in 2019 when you did this boot camp. You know, how did you navigate being a mom even during the boot camp? Because that was in the evenings, you said, at night. So like you were at home with your kids during the daytime, but kind of how was that? Because you still had, you know, homework to do. You still had weekly projects, a lot of in-person team meetings. How did you navigate that as a mom?
I was highly motivated, first of all, and I started the class at 6:30 evening, and then the class ended at 10 p.m. I would go home and code for about an hour, and then for my projects, I usually just came early to the classroom. For instance, I would come in around 5:30 to finish my projects.
That's awesome. So, AKA, you had no excuses and you got it done, because, I mean, like, you set your mind to it. You didn't let any of the great things in life, right, like being mom, being married, moving, being an immigrant, stop you from accomplishing your goals. And that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the last question that we have for you today is, what advice would you have for mothers trying to get into the tech industry?
Well, I would just tell them not to give up and always try their best. Motherhood it's hard. However, women are superhumans and we can do everything we set our minds to. So just brush off your skills that you already have and try to do more online courses. And if there is a possibility to do some courses in person, just to brush off your previous experience and then go back to the work industry.
Now, what advice do you have for immigrant women navigating the tech industry in general and in the U.S.?
Actually, being an immigrant is not always a bad thing or something that people can put you down for.
Agreed.
The thing is that just do your best, be who you are, and I think you'll do great things.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Flaca, for taking your time to talk with us today. I'm sure our listeners are going to have lots of questions for you. So if you're interested in talking to Flaca, I have links immediately below in the podcast episode details where you can connect with Flaca, ask her questions. We have her information there and more details on the website. Also, if you're looking to join platforms like Udemy and edX, I have links immediately below for you to go ahead and create your account. Even if you don't want to start just yet, right, and you're like, okay, I'm a mom or a woman in general and I just want to learn and see what's out there, I have links for you below. Go ahead and create your account, explore those platforms, and kind of see the different courses and stuff that you have to offer. But there's something for all of us to learn. Again, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Women in Tech with Ariana podcast. We literally could not do this show without you. We appreciate your support. Thank you for following us on Instagram and Facebook. If you haven't done so, go ahead and do that. You know, I have links to all this stuff immediately below. And then if you're interested, guys, we talked about this on the previous couple episodes, but if you're interested in being featured on the show, shoot us an email at podcast@wallwaytech.com. We're doing something super special where, unfortunately, we can't have everyone come on the show because there's just too many of you. However, if you do want to be featured, we're doing a special series called Women Around the World, launching in April of this year. And so if you're interested in being featured, we're going to have you guys submit a 15-minute video, send it to our email, podcast@wallwaytech.com, talking about your company and what it is that you do. And we'll let you know if you were approved and accepted to be featured on the show. So thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. It's your girl Ariana signing out.